Would you stand, please, take your Bibles, and turn to 1 Chronicles 29. Very seldom would you ever hear pastor ever say this, but I'll say it today. After we read our text, you can close your Bibles because all the verses that we're going to look at will be on the screen, and you don't need to be tempted to read forward and backwards because it's a pretty simple message today, very basic message today. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 22. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Our text, seven words. They ate and drank with great joy. Would you say that with me? They ate and drank with great joy. Oh, say it like you mean it. They ate and drank with great joy. I want to talk to you today under the title, It's Time to Celebrate. I know we have a lot of visitors in the church house this morning. Please understand, this is not a normal Sunday morning message. This is a Sunday morning where this church family is gathering together and rejoicing in something that this church family has accomplished in the last 3 years. And it's right that we would gather together, eat, drink with great joy. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to come into this place right now and do what you would have done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I remember with clarity the day the Lord spoke to me concerning our having a day of celebration at the conclusion of our capital campaign. I knew that the Lord would be pleased with such a day, and when I took that idea to our pastoral staff and church board, it was graciously received with enthusiasm. This morning I want to begin by taking a brief walk down memory lane. It was during 07 and 08. We were seeing some outstanding growth here at Christian Celebration Center. In our two-service format, we found we had plenty of room to grow on Sundays. However, midweek and other time slots, we were taxing our facility way beyond its limits. Let me give an example. On a Wednesday morning, it was impossible for me to walk from my office to this auditorium and not disturb at least two or three Bible studies without going outside. Bible studies were in the hallways. Bible studies were in the lobbies. I remember on a Wednesday night, there was a life lessons class being conducted in the old conference room, and Donna and I went to it. You that have been in the old conference room know it's a room that could handle maybe 20 people, 25 people. That night, there were over 45 people in that room. It was shoulder to shoulder, knee to knee. It stunk like a locker room, and everybody was there learning something, and I looked at that situation and thought, oh my, oh my, oh my. The choir had grown out of the choir room, and they were now practicing up here on the platform, which wasn't best, but it's what we had. We decided to give consideration to expanding our support facility outside of this auditorium as not to hinder our future growth. So on June 4th of 08, I met with 10 men from our congregation. I asked them if they would serve on a building committee with the assignment to explore the possibilities of adding some square footage to this facility. All 10 men enthusiastically accepted the appointment. I closed that meeting by saying, I believe God will reveal to us his plan for our future in this area. And then I gave all of us two scriptures. Proverbs 19, many are the plans in man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Make plans by seeking advice and obtain guidance. I must tell you that at first we ran into nothing but roadblocks. It seemed to be impossible that we could do this, but the Lord began to ferret out the roadblocks and take them out of the way. In December of 08, this group came back with their findings that we could add 9,000 square feet at a cost of approximately $2.4 million. It never cost us that much, but that's what the original thoughts were. I was not surprised because I know that expanding existing facilities is very, very, very expensive. Square footage-wise, it's much more expensive to add to a building than to start from scratch, and I know that. We then began to research how we might financially undertake such a project. Our finance committee, headed by Doug Anderson and Lynn Nwango, labored so diligently. And I see in the second service, Lynn and Angelo are here. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You bless my heart to be here today from the East Coast. On July 12, I told this congregation that I had a rather strong position concerning building in the wintertime, and that is, we're not going to do it. Plain and simple. I have lived all of my life in a northern tier state, and every contractor will come to you and say, you can build as inexpensive and you can build as good a building in the wintertime as you can in the summertime, and that's just not true. That is just not true. And I told our congregation, as far as my calendar was concerned, we ran out of calendar and would have to wait until next year. And on that day, I gave our congregation another scripture. It was Luke 14. We must count the cost before we move forward. On Sunday night, January 10 of 2010, our pastoral staff and church board met with the project building committee and the project finance committee to discuss and decide if recommendations should be given to move forward with this project. We had 28 people meet in the 400 series upstairs on a Sunday night. 100% of the people that we asked to come to that meeting came to that meeting. And I've jotted down several things that were said in that very important meeting on that Sunday, late afternoon, early evening. Barry Bernard said, there comes a point in any church where you will stop growth due to a lack of facility. Pastor Pat said, I can't imagine doing what we do midweek without the 400 series rooms. We'll say the same about this edition. Pastor Leon said, this edition will free us up to do exciting things in the future. It will change the dynamic of the music ministry of this church, and that has happened already. But you'll know that in a meeting like this, there is always one person that seems to step forward at a critical time of discussion to kind of make their position known, and it's a position that you, all of a sudden, it turns everybody's heads. I remember when I heard it. It was Bill Mueller. Bill said, I'm very much in favor, assuming we include a capital campaign. And right on the heels of that, one who was with the Lord today looking down, Rid Nimmo, said, this is a good plan. I think we'll have to figure out what to do with the excess. Prophetic. Prophetic. At the close of that meeting, I made the statement, the chair feels a strong unanimity in this room. We are in unity, and I want you all to know, God commands his blessing where there is unity. That group unanimously sent a recommendation to the church board to move ahead. Now, I must insert that in both morning services of that day, prophetic words were given by people, by different people. In the first service, a prophetic word came saying, expand your vision today, think big, I am a God of abundance, I have abundant supply for you. And in the second service, another prophetic word came saying, God's supply will not be little, but ample. The following Thursday, January 14th, 2010, your church board unanimously called for a congregational meeting to be scheduled for February 21 to authorize the building program. I want to tell you about that night. I remember that night as if it were yesterday. Because I knew this was a point of no return on this project. After we had our meeting and we dismissed everybody to go home, I asked the board if they would come up to my office. The staff went home. Our board meetings have staff and board together. The staff went home. I sat in my office with seven board members. I looked them all in the eye and I said, I got to talk to you about something. You see, at that point in time, we had no idea how much money this thing was going to cost. We had no idea where we were going to get the money from. We had no idea what size mortgage we'd have to take out to bridge us. We knew nothing other than God was directing us to move forward. It was very much a faith movement. And I looked at all those gentlemen and I said, I got to talk to you about something. Because history shows that there are many, many pastors that lead their churches in building programs that bring humongous debt on congregations, and then they up and leave. I said, let's face it. This year, and that was back 3 years ago, I'm turning 60. And I'm not going to be around forever pastoring this church. Some of you think I'm going to stay as long as Methuselah, but you got another thinker coming. Our time is drawing to an end. And I looked at all of those in that room that night and said, I will not stand for board members to say he ran us into debt and then retired. And if any of you would possibly ever think that, I will veto this project right now. Because that is not going to be Joel Stalker's legacy. It was an important night. We went around the room. I asked every man to express himself. And every man said, Pastor, if you retire before we ever pay a mortgage back, we will never say you ran us into debt and then left. I said, that's the only way we could ever go on. Now, I know some of you are thinking, is he going to announce his retirement this morning? No way, folks. I got many more miles on this car. But whenever that does happen, it will be a good day for this congregation. And it'll be an even better day for Joel and Donna and Riley and Rosie. But we got many more miles to put on this car before we park it. It's in drive and it's staying in drive for quite a while. On February 21st, we had a business meeting following the AM service. It was the largest business meeting in the history of this church. But before the vote, I told this congregation, I will give you every reason to vote no. I am not a pastor who's out saying, let's go, let's stick the shovel in the ground, let's build. Because I understand the power there is in this position. And I understand that you can get a whole bunch of people to follow you a wrong direction. So I was not out leading the parade. And in fact, before the vote, I looked at the congregation and I said, now listen, if in any way, any part of you, if you don't want to build, vote no. If you will not adopt the business plan that Doug Anderson has put before us, vote no. And if you will not participate in a capital campaign, vote no. I was campaigning for a no vote. The vote was 96% in favor of moving forward. That was a strong vote. You say, well, what about the 4% that didn't? Friends. And I don't say this sarcastically. I say it because it is the way it is. Jesus could come and present something and there would be some no votes. That's true. But this was a very, very strong mandate to move forward. And so then, just before we left the auditorium, those that were here remember, I said, let's quiet ourselves and see if the Lord will say something to us. And there were three prophetic words that came. The first one, this is a new day, and if you trust me, I will do things that you cannot imagine. I've given you a sacrificial heart, and I will flow through that sacrificial heart. I want you to know that I am the one who planted that heart in you. You can sacrifice. You have the ability to sacrifice. I call upon you to ask me to activate the heart inside of you because I have implanted in this congregation a sacrificial heart. And the third word, if you have a willing heart and you step forward in faith and you trust me, I will not leave you out of what I am doing. I will bless you. It was 1 week after that meeting. We had had a capital campaign meeting on Saturday behind closed doors talking about all of this. And Dan Parker came up to me right down here at the close of first service because we had been talking the day before what could be a slogan for this. And we had the goofiest titles. I mean, they were just silly. And we weren't coming up with anything. And Dan said, I was awakened in the middle of the night. And God gave me three words, and I think it might be our slogan. He was very humble about it. And I thought to myself, oh, great, here's another one. Tell me what it is. And Dan said, growing the celebration. And he said, I see a tree and the tree filling out as we move through the capital campaign. I went up to my office between services and said, Donna, I know what our campaign is going to be titled. She looked at me like, what? I said, Dan Parker came to me with this idea. I think it's great. Growing the celebration. We never had another discussion about it. That came not from us. That came from someone in the congregation. Well, 1 week after that, we were in another capital campaign meeting on Saturday. And we were planning pastoral information exchange meetings. We called them PIE meetings for short. Where we would come and we would talk with you about what we were going to do. We were told in that meeting that if you did those PIE meetings in the church, you'd have 50% of your congregation that came. If you did those PIE meetings in homes and you had a strong cell group ministry, you'd have about 75% of your congregation that would come. However, if you had those meetings in the pastor's home, you'd have 90 to 100% of your people that would come. I remember that day as if it were today. I slipped out of the conference room, went to my office, called 631-5888. I said, Donna. She said, aren't you in a meeting? Oh, I said, I am. I just stepped out. Here's the deal. 50, 75, 90 to 100. Without a hesitation, she said, let's do it. And over the next 6 weeks, over 650 people came to our home for us to get fat on pie. No, I'm just teasing. For me to look you in the eye and tell you what we were going to do. And I know, I get this. This is glory to the Lord, and the big structure has done this. But if whenever you go through something, you can stop and you can see one situation or one person that made a difference in the whole thing. And I stand before you to tell you today, along with the Lord's blessing, and you're all listening to the Lord, the key to the success of this capital campaign sits right there in the front row. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Oh, it was so much fun. Our house was upside down for 2 months. The dogs were displaced back into a bedroom every night about 6:30. Let's go, dogs, back into the crates. They didn't like pie meetings at all, let me tell you. And we would sit with a group as small as 6 people. And as the last night, we had between 80 and 85 people come to our home. I know you all say, man, you must live in a mansion. Oh, folks, our home won't handle 85 people. They were on each other's shoulders. They were in the living room, the dining room, the hallway, back to the bedrooms. They were all over the place. In fact, my wife and I were standing in the office that night looking down the driveway, and we saw people streaming up our driveway. And Donna looked at me and hugged me, and she says, I wonder if this what it feels like in a third world country where they can't have church and they have private church in the basements of their homes or what have you. I said, I don't know, but it sure feels good. And in that meeting, we talked about what we liked about our church. There were so many things that brought tears to your eyes, but the thing that moved me the most was one person who said, this is how I describe CCC, my church, excellence without arrogance. I'll never forget that. I want that to be the theme of my life and the theme of my ministry. Excellence without arrogance. So we told the people, here's what we're going to do. Here's what it's going to cost. What questions do you have about it? When we got down to talking about money, I simply said, hey, this can't be tithe, because every dollar of the tithe is spent on the operations of the ministry of this church. If we take the tithe out of this pocket and put it in this pocket, we will go backwards. But I said something else. I said, hey, we're a strong, strong missions-giving church. So, here's the deal. If you have a conflict of interest as to whether you only have money to give to the capital campaign or to give to missions, I resolve your conflict of interest right now. Give to missions and not to the building fund. Amen. In the 3 years of this program, our missions dollars didn't stay the same. They went up in 3 years. And the last thing I said, you know, when you get ready to bring your 3-year commitments, you've got to do it with a happy spirit. If you and your spouse don't agree, I said, don't do anything. And here's the reason why. After this whole thing is over, I have to pastor you. And I want to pastor sweet people, not sour people. And I'll tell you, there's such a sweet spirit in this church about this. It's not, ooh, I'm glad we're over with this thing. I haven't seen that from anybody. On April 24, the leadership of Christian Celebration Center gathered on a Saturday night. There was no fancy banquet. It was a potluck. Donna and I stood before the leadership, and we told that leadership that we were going to give $60,000 to this project in the next 3 years. And the leadership of this congregation responded with an additional $524,000. So we had a total of $584,000. Then on Sunday, May 2nd, 3 years ago, this Sunday, this congregation made a willingly 3-year commitment of $1.5 million. We planned to build the project in 3 phases. However, the money came in at such a pace that every time we were scheduled to stop the construction, we had enough of cash to continue on. This is how it came in. The first offering was off the charts. I still don't have it figured out. A congregation of somewhere between 800 and 1,000 people in a single offering gave $400,000 in one offering. When I think about it, I have nothing to say. But that's what happened. 1 year later, we gave another $220,000, and 1 year later, $150,000. Those are in single offerings, totaling $770,000. And then the Sunday offerings totaled over that period of time $617,000 for a total of 1.387 of the 1.5. You know, it was those Sunday offerings that just kept coming along, just kept coming along. And I started to keep track. Every Monday when the count came to me on a piece of paper, I'd just take what was last week's number and I'd add that number to it. So I had the running total here on pencil, exactly how much was given through last Sunday. I'm keeping this as a memento. I'll never forget one Thursday night. It was November 6th, 2011. I went to the board on a Thursday night and I said, we're right now at $999,604.74. I was really hoping to go to the congregation this Sunday and say we broke $1 million, but I can't do that. See, I would never do that. I would never say you gave more than you gave. You can always trust that whatever numbers I tell you are accurate numbers, as best as I know them. So, at the end of the board meeting, a board member followed me up to my office. Said, Pastor, can I talk with you for a second? That's usually not a healthy sign at the end of board meetings, you understand. He came into my office and he said, Pastor, can I write the church out a check for $400? So next Sunday you can say we went over $1 million. I didn't ask him to do that. I didn't ask any board member to do that. I said, if you want to, you sure can. And he did, on the spot, in my office. The next day, I was in the office. A staff member, a pastoral staff member, called me and said, Pastor, I want to write out a check for $400 so you can announce we're over $1 million. I said, you're too late. Somebody else already done it. Go figure. Wow. Last Sunday, our fourth fruits offering was $60,199, giving us a capital campaign total giving of $1.447. That is 96% of the $1.5 million. And those who are on the finance committee know what we were told. We were told you probably get 2/3 of the money in. We're at 96% and counting right now. I have little doubt that that last 53,000 will come in, and I'll tell you why. There are people who have not made their pledge, completed their pledge, who want to make their pledge. There are others, although we didn't ask for it, who made new pledges last Sunday. I was not going to stand up and say, okay, pledge on your pledge. That's stupid. I'd never do that. But people turned in thousands of dollars of pledges last Sunday. Not even asked for. Not even asked for. Now, friends, we're not going to receive any more capital campaign offerings. If you still have money that you want to give towards that, the envelope is still in the pew rack and it still says building fund, growing the celebration. That envelope is not going to change because we print 10,000 of these at a time and I'm too cheap to throw these in the garbage, okay? So that's where they'll stay. And if you are wanting to give any money towards that, you do it on that line. And here's what I tell you will happen with that money. In the bulletin, it will show as going to the general fund. But it really will not go to the general fund. It will go to a portion of the general fund, which is our facilities fund. All capital campaign monies from this point forward will go to the facilities fund. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. So, here's where we're at. Isn't that cute? Well, I'll tell you, 3 years ago, it was all gray. There was no green. Look at it, my friends. It's a graphic of the miracle of God. Enough has come in to pay off the mortgage. Enough has come in to pay for our party this afternoon. Enough has come in to fully fund our next project, which will be a total renovation of this platform this summer. Do you see this nice black stuff up here between that the choir is on right there? You know, that wasn't planned that way. That was put up here for our Christmas concert to kind of get us by. It is uglier than sin, is what it is. And we're going to replace all of that at the tune of about $55,000. We're going to do that over the summer months, and it will all be paid for. I've taken the first part of today's message to look back for two reasons. Number one, we need to remember our journey, and number two, we need to reflect with thanksgiving. Now let me just talk to you from my heart for a few minutes and we'll wrap things up. In the scriptures, we find two building projects, both supported by the free will offerings of the people. The first was the construction of the tabernacle referenced in Exodus 35 and 36. Let me show you this one. It says in Exodus 35, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring it to the Lord as an offering. Now, I want you to notice two things. Number one, you give an offering from what you have. You can't give an offering from what you don't have. And nobody has ever in this church structure in the last 3 years asked you to give something you don't have. You give from what you have. And then it says what? You willingly bring it to the Lord. In case you didn't get it in that verse, it comes back in 21. And everyone who was willing and whose heart was moved came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of the meeting. Again, you had to be willing, number one, and number two, you had to bring it. Nobody's going to bring it for you. In case you haven't gotten it, it goes on to say, and all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work of the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. And then you jump into the next chapter, and it's a very interesting passage of Scripture. It says this, and the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. That's week after week. That's Sunday after Sunday as far as we're concerned. The people brought more than enough for doing the work the Lord had commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order. No man or woman is to make anything else or an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they had already had given was more than enough to do all the work. That's incredible. Now I got to tell you, when we paid the mortgage off on December 21st, and I knew that was going to happen several weeks before, I went into a season of fasting and prayer saying, Lord, I think I need to do the Exodus 36 thing and just basically say, stop the capital campaign. Nobody has to give anymore. You say, I seriously considered that. And the Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. And I said, why? He said, because there are people who need to give to this, and if you stop them, you will stop them from receiving a blessing. You let it work out between me and them, but don't you stop that. And then the Lord secondly reminded me that we took $350,000 from our facilities fund and started the project with $350,000, and that facilities fund had zero in it in December. We had a board meeting this last Thursday night. Do you know how much money is in the facilities fund as I speak to you this morning? $97,000. Okay. So we move 500 years, and David's going to build a temple. And God says, sorry, David, you can't build the temple. Your son is going to build the temple. And David comes back to God and says, okay, if I can't build the temple, can I at least pay for it? Can I raise the money for it? And God says, yeah, you can do that. I have always said, I said it clear back when Donna and I came to pastor this financially strapped church in July of 1986. This church was so far in debt when we came to pastor it in July of 86, and you old timers know exactly what I'm talking about. It was strangling. And I always said, it's easy to build them. It's hard to pay for them. And David says, okay, God, if you won't let me build it, can I pay for it? And God says, sure. Follow this. He said, with all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. I want to stop right there. In the King James, it actually says how much weight of silver and gold. And according to today's standards, I kind of added that up a little bit. And I, as close as I can figure it out, David gave to the temple build out of his pocketbook $10 billion. I didn't say million, I said $10 billion. And then he came and he said, this is what I've done, and this is what we've taken from the treasury. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? And then the leaders gave toward the work of the temple. Jump down two verses. The people rejoiced at the willing response, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David also rejoiced greatly. Jump down to verse 17. David said, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with an honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And our text for this morning. So what did they do? They ate, drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Did I tell them in this service about Dave Williams? I don't think I did I? Thursday morning, I was leaving the hotel that we were staying in Grand Rapids. The retired pastor of Mount Hope in Lansing, Dave Williams, stopped me in the lobby of the church. We chatted for a little bit. He said, what's up in Midland? I said, we're having a party this coming Sunday. He said, you're what? I said, we're having a party. He said, for mothers? Well, it's on Mother's Day, but not really. Well, what's it for? It's to celebrate a capital campaign of $1.5 million coming in the last 3 years. The moment I said that, his eyes welled up with tears. And here's what the man said to me. Pastors the largest Assemblies of God church, well, did. He's been retired now a couple years. He looked at me with tears in his eyes, and here's what he said. He said, Joel, I wished I would have done more of that. He said, I cheated my congregation in going from project to project to project without stopping. Celebrate. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. You know, I really think that the message from verse 9 kind of spells out where we are at today as a church. And the people were full of a sense of celebration, all that giving, and all given willingly and freely. And King David was exuberant. I think this is graphically illustrated in the classic Charles Dickens wrote, Christmas Carol. We have Ebenezer Scrooge, who is caustic and complaining. He's miserly and he's miserable. He's wealthy and he's wicked. And then he has an encounter with three spirits on Christmas Day, and he was given a second chance at life. Would you allow me to read how Dickens describes it? He went to church. He walked about the streets, and he watched the people hurrying to and fro. He patted children on the head, and he questioned beggars, and he looked down into the kitchens of houses and up to the windows, and he found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything could give him so much happiness. After his transformation, Scrooge walked through the streets of London, freely distributing his wealth. He who only yesterday had scoffed at the idea of charity now takes his greatest pleasure in giving. And on the story's final page, Dickens says this: some people laughed to see the alteration to him, but he let them laugh, and he heeded them very little. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. What was the source of Scrooge's transformation? Let me tell you. Ebenezer Scrooge walked in the streets of London with joy because he discovered a life-giving antidote for materialism. I want everybody here to understand something. Modern-day materialism in America is a poison. And if you drink it, you will die. And you will die a miserable death. It's true. It's true. Don and I feel blessed because God has given us the privilege to pastor a people who have found the antidote to materialism. And it's to freely and willfully give of what you have. It was March 28th, 1990, in Cleveland, Ohio. The Chicago Bulls played the Cleveland Cavaliers. And on that night, Michael Jordan set an all-time single-game scoring record for his career of 69 points. Now, you got to understand, there have been four times where that record has been broken by only two other people, Kobe Bryant and also Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain, three times in 1 year. It's so funny. What? It's okay. So, at the close of that game where he scored 69 points, the press are just moving in on him down a little corridor because everybody wants an interview. And everybody's sticking their microphone up in his face to get an interview with Michael Jordan. And there was another Chicago Bull who was standing on the other side of the corridor, and he was kind of standing with his leg up against the wall like this and just watching this scene. And there was a reporter who couldn't get to Jordan, and he was really upset. And so he goes over to Stacy King, who was the other Chicago Bull. And he said, "Stacy, how many points did you score tonight?" He said, "One." And he said, "Well, what do you think of all this parade here of all these people trying to get to Michael Jordan because he scored 69 points tonight. And he said, well, I think it's kind of cool. And he said, oh, no, you don't. I mean, isn't that a scene? What do you really think about that? Stacey King looked at the reporter and he said, listen, bud. He said, years from now, I'm going to set my grandchildren on my knee and I'm going to tell them about the night that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points. Well, I'll tell you what. There's going to be the days where I take Caleb and Gavin and Malia and I put them on my knee. And I'm going to say, let me tell you about the time a church gave a $400,000 offering. Let me tell you about the 3 years a church took on a building program and in 3 years paid off a $2.1 million building program. And it won't be, look what I did, and look what you did, and look what everybody else did. No. It's what we did together. And so I say to you today, it's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. Let's eat. Let's drink. And let's rejoice. And the guy who's going to help us, lead us in this is Pastor Leon. Leon, can I tell you something about Leon? Leon has a secret fantasy in life. That's the truth. And it's not to be a minister of music or an organ player or anything else. He has a secret fantasy in life to be a carny man. That's the truth. That is true. You absolutely, this guy loves the fair. When the fair comes to town, he's there every night. I mean, he likes to take that week off as a vacation week. You know, I think he's sick, but you know, it's true. You see, he's saying it's true.
It's very true.
So, now, folks, he's going to talk to us about everything about tonight, this afternoon tonight. Look outside. The sun is shining. The sun is shining. Now, oh, ye of great doubt, Sam Rule sits over there. The sun is shining, and I'm like,
I see it.
So, now I know it's going to be a little chilly. I get that. But we are Michigan tough. Well,
come on.
We're either Michigan tough or Michigan stupid. I don't know which it is. So, I'm just concerned that Leon is going to be okay. And so I brought some stuff to help you out, Leon, because I don't want you to be cold. And so, yeah, and everybody needs to take it, to listen, because you're going to need to dress warm this afternoon, this evening. So I got a really nice hoodie for you to wear, Leon.
Thank you.
Okay, you see?
Yeah.
You put that on. I bet you don't have a hoodie in your wardrobe, do you?
Actually, I do.
You do?
I do.
Okay, well, you put this on and you pull it down real nice and tight. But
I know how to put a sweatshirt on.
Yeah, okay.
Just saying.
Just in case it's kind of spitting out there a little bit, you know, a little precipitation, then you wear a hat like this, okay?
Nice.
And that will cover your glasses.
That's not all that covers.
Yeah. Well, and if you need more, then you get a stocking cap. That's
okay.
It, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I was a little concerned about that your hands wouldn't get cold, so I got you some camouflage gloves. I think they would look real good on you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm keeping them.
Okay, you can have them because I'll never wear them, okay?
Yeah,
there
I
you
won't
go.
Either.
But I know there is something else that I brought that you do not have in your wardrobe, in your closet, any place. And Leon, I'm doing this because I want to make sure that you stay warm. So I brought for you some long underwear. Here you go. Leon, this is called long underwear. And you really need to wear this so your legs stay warm.
Is that what you do?
When it's cold outside, yes.
Wow. You know, your concern for my being warm is overwhelming.
I kind of figured so. I kind of figured.
Wow. Give him a hand. I know he worked really hard on that. You guys, it's time to have a party. Hey, you ready to have a party?
Woo!
Yeah. We're going to have an incredible time. We really are. Yes, it is a little chilly, but you know what? It's always easier to put something on than it is to take it off.
That was naughty, Leon.
Our party begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon out at the fairgrounds. And it, folks, it really is going to be an incredible time. At 3 o'clock, what you'll need to do is when you arrive, you will use the airport entrance, okay? So just go on Airport Road, go into that entrance, and when you pull in, you'll see a big red roof building off to your right. You want to drive toward that building. Our registration for our event, and everyone needs to be registered, it will be in front of the Fair Center building, the red roof building. So you'll park and you'll go along in the front, and there'll be people there to greet you. The only thing you'll need to do, and actually if you're in a family, let's say a family of four or five, what you want to do is you want to have one person go up to the registration table, sign your name, and let us know how many people are with you, and we will give you one of these wristbands, okay, that says Play World on it. You need to be wearing a wristband because the people who are running the rides, they're going to be looking for that. And then, because of the success of this event and because you are bringing so many people, and we're just absolutely thrilled about that, we needed to expand the dining hours. So instead of from 5 to 7, the dining room now will be open from 4 to 7, okay? So we're going to ask that we stay out of the dining room, and, you know, we're going to wait till 4 o'clock because the caterers will be in there running around getting everything ready for us. And so anyway, but at the 4 o'clock hour, again, with a wristband on, you will be let in that area, and we'll be serving dinner from 4 until 7. And it's come and go, okay? And I got to tell you, it is going to be amazing. But before you get to your dinner, you'll have the wristband, which we're all, what are we doing with them? We're wearing them. And then you've got some tickets that you will be given, one ticket per person. This ticket will allow you to either get an order of French fries at the Red Barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That ticket is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Or you can use your ticket to get an elephant ear at the Elephant Ear Wagon.
I don't know about elephant ears. I'll stick with French fries.
I will too, but okay. I know that they're popular, and I, you know, you want to keep on, you want to hang on to these tickets, keep it in your pocket, keep it safe. Also at the registration area, you're going to be given a map, and it looks like this, and it just shows you where all the events are, okay? And I want to tell you that don't be overwhelmed with any of this because it's all in one area. So food service, again, from 4 until 7. You've got your map, tells you where everything is. Now, let's talk about the food. We've talked about the French fries and the elephant ears, but inside, listen, I was down in the kitchen earlier today, a little secret. They are making 500 pounds of barbecued wings. Ooh. 300 pounds of barbecue pork. They ordered 100 dozen rolls that you can put your pork on from Hamilton's Bakery. I know. It's like incredible. And it goes on and on. There will be a baked potato bar with all the fixings. There's going to be a taco bar where you can make tacos, nachos, taco salads, whatever you want. There will be a fresh... Listen to this. Are you hungry? There's going to be a fresh fruit area, and it will be quite a display. Lots of fruit for us healthy people. There will be a kids' table, and it is cool. They've got every kind of popcorn and every kind of treat you can imagine. I was down in the kitchen. They've got bubblegum-flavored popcorn. And they've got strawberry popcorn. You name it, they have done it. In addition to that, there will be a little bag for all the kids to take with them. There will be a drink station, hot and cold, a lot of hot. Parents, we need you to have your children with you. The fair people have asked that all the kids that are riding their rides would have an adult with them. So we're good at that, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. Then there's going to be games. B-I-N-G-O, B-I.
This is a real spiritual ending to this service, let me tell you.
I'll get there. Okay. Listen, I do want to say this. Every pastor on staff has been involved in this, right. And have taken a portion of the responsibility, and I cannot thank them enough.
Amen.
They are an awesome group
Amen.
Of people,
yes.
And we are just so blessed to have them. Pastor Lynn is in charge of the bingo, and she has here, tell them we've got fabulous prizes. Folks, they've got incredible prizes. I've seen them. They're practical and funny. Are you going to play bingo?
What?
Are you going to play bingo?
I am.
All right.
After I go on the rides. You got to tell me the numbers ahead of time, Lynn, so I can...
Okay, now listen. Bingo starts at 3 o'clock, and it's going to be in the Merchant Building number 2, which is right next to the Fair Center. So you look at the Fair Center, rides are on one side, the Merchant Building's on the other side. There will be a new game beginning every 15 minutes. Right across from the Fair Center, we got Pastor Jake out there with ladder ball. And there will be open play from 3 until 5, and then he's running tournaments at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock with prizes. You want to be a part of that. That's going to be a blast. There will be a water station out on the Midway, so if you get thirsty, you can just stop by and pick up a bottle of water. And then there are the rides. And folks, we have got rides. We've got the zero gravity. We've got the T-drop one. You know, it takes you up in the air, and then it drops you down, you know. Now, I just want to say to you that if you get on one of those that spin you around like the Sizzler, or one that drops you, keep your mouth shut, okay?
Why?
Because we don't want you to lose anything. You know, when you're spinning around and all, and then I think you get it.
That is not true, Leon. You're announcing.
And then we have a fun slide. Are you going to ride the fun slide? I hope so.
Okay.
Okay. And then we've got the Dizzy Dragons. Malia's going to love the Dizzy Dragons, okay? And it goes on and on and on. 3 inflatables. It's going to be a blast, you guys. And we are excited. Again, it starts at 3 o'clock, and it ends when we're tired, okay? We're just going to keep going, and when the crowd starts to die down a little bit, we'll pack up and go home.
And that's kind of important because I recognize the weather forecast says we might get a little precipitation mid-afternoon. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not because we still have sun out there. But here's the deal. The weather forecast also says that by about 7 o'clock tonight, it's going to be sunny again. So don't just pack it and stay home because I was to a wedding yesterday. It rained. It was an outdoor wedding. It rained and it was just nasty. But by the end of the reception, we had blue sky and it was beautiful. So know that we can hang around into the evening, right?
We can. Yeah. We can. And it's going to be great.
You know, we've been working on this for a long, long time, feeling that this would be pleasing to the Lord. And we needed someone to, I always say this, drive the truck. And Leon has worked tirelessly on this project for months and months now. Let's show our appreciation of all this. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, Leon. In 1 Chronicles 29, David prayed a prayer, and that prayer was, O Lord, would you keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever? I really want to speak a benediction over you. Would you stand, please? I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And I pray that God would keep in your hearts forever the antidote to materialism. And you're going out and you're coming in and you're lying down and you're rising up and your labor and your leisure and your laughter and your tears. Until we all come to stand before the one that we've learned this giving thing from in the first place, Jesus. In Christ's name, Go have a party today. God bless you. Jesus.